Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steve Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify bell next to it. And also leave us a rating or a review on iOS podcast app, because it really, 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 really helps the show. One of these days, I'm going to start conglomerating the podcast reviews on the iOS and reading the names, because people like to hear their name read. And so if they do that, it might incentivize more people to leave a review for us.
Have you checked our ratings on the iTunes of late?
Yeah, we're out of it. We're done. We're gone. That's why
maybe
I bring
after
that
the
back
football
up.
Season we'll get back in there.
Maybe, man.
There's a lot of podcast options out there.
Well, that's
it's
the
hard
thing.
To stand out.
So many podcasts. But we do have 39 patrons watching right now on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steven Larson. This podcast broadcasts live as a live stream. To our $5 and up a month patrons. We've got all sorts of great reward tiers available at the Patreon. If you want to support Going In Raw, that's another great way to do it. We're also available at the Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/ Steven Larson. Look at all these great shirts. Hey.
Hey.
First we got, hey.
Slow Wolf.
You're not me.
Top seller.
This is my shirt, though. Hey.
Hey.
And then we've got, you're not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
And then we've also got this one. It's just your face. Dude, somebody on Twitter, I forget who it was, and I apologize for that, took this shirt, combined it with the Shock Steve shirt. I'm going to have late because Lacey's a seamstress.
Have her own half and half shirts.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Right. Fantastic.
Half and half, like Seth Rollins.
Anyways. I know, exactly.
Can we do opposite half and half, though? Like you had, like your right side, Shock Steve, and left side's Cold
Water
Larson,
okay
and vice
wearing,
versa.
If you're okay wearing like an extra large... You mean like when she does it?
Well,
or are
no.
Are you saying like we just do that on the Pro Wrestling Tee Shop?
Well, I'd love to do that, but I don't know if we can.
Yeah, right.
With the half and half actual shirt.
Yeah.
I don't think we can do that.
Well, we'd have to get a large and an extra large.
Well, we'd get two larges and two extra larges.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But then we'd each get two shirts. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'll see if she's down for that. Anything else? We have a... So we're changing things up a tad.
Oh, yeah. So Fridays... We're at one time home to a show called Dirt Sheet that was moved to Monday, and in its stead, we started doing Matt Chat, our debate show. None of those shows are going away. We're just moving some things around.
Mm-hmm.
Monday will still be Dirt Sheet live, recap of the weekend's wrestling news.
Right.
Dirt Sheet on Friday is making a return.
Correct.
To serve two purposes. Talk about news that happens towards the end of the week, but also to kind of recap and follow up on stories reported on previously in the week with Going In Raw Daily.
Right.
Matt Chat is moving to Sundays at least once a month. Most months at least will probably be twice a month.
Yeah.
Bi-weekly. This month will be a little different since we got to pre-produce some stuff for the holidays. We got a lot of best of, end of year type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to populate our Sunday schedule a lot for the remainder of this month. So... It's all a filling out process. We're trying to figure out the best way to program our channel, provide the best content for you, and that works best within our schedules.
Yes, correct. All that is good. Anyways, let me bring up the notes here for today's show. What are we going to talk about today?
205 Live.
Coming late.
And NXT.
NXT. So all the word we've gotten from the tapings last night. We're not going to talk any spoilers.
Yeah, it sounds phenomenal.
It sounds phenomenal. Next week... This week, it was some...
It was filler.
It was filler. It was
but I will say, the quality of the matches, all three matches, was very good.
No, they were all good matches.
There just wasn't a whole lot of storyline progression.
There was zero storyline progression.
But all the matches were really good.
Oh, all the matches were good. It's just, it's going to be a little light on talking about stuff today, because 205 Live was kind of crap, too.
Yeah.
I feel like 205 Live's in such a holding pattern right now, because there's no clear face to... face off with against Enzo.
I think they're making it obviously clear who Enzo's going to face off with.
As of right now, like this week I'm talking about, there's just not a lot happening, you know?
Yeah, no.
And
there definitely doesn't seem to be I don't know if there's somebody in place on the show now that they have established that is definitively going to take that belt off Enzo in the for the foreseeable future.
No, dude, I'll put it this way. I don't believe. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say that. I was going to say I don't believe anybody in the roster right now is going to take that belt off Enzo. I think it's going to take an Adeo at Tommy, and they can maybe hope that he's going to get some heat. How?
Well, I think there are people on the roster now who can do it, but they need to invest the time.
Right,
in,
yeah. They're not
building
in a position.
Storylines to make it happen.
As is right now, they're not in a position to do it because nobody's over. Nobody's over the way Enzo's over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's a tall task.
Yeah.
Because he's one of the guys. Look, we knew this before he hit 205 Live. For whatever reason, he's a needle mover when it comes to ratings.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big personality. I guess it's not that surprising.
Yeah.
But there are no other big personalities in the faces anyways. They're on 205 Live.
But the potential is there for that to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, there's potential in a lot of those guys. But, you know.
But, I mean, like, short term, it's obvious that Rich Swann is going to be Enzo's next challenger.
Yeah, and they're setting that up because he's going to lose, you know. So, I don't know, man. They've got a lot of splaining to do. Anyways, it opened up with an Enzo Amore promo.
As 205 Live typically opens.
He's become the new, like, remember when every week was the Authority with a 20-minute promo?
Yep.
He's turned into that for 205 Live.
Yep. Sort of like Shane's been filling that role for SmackDown, too. Apparently, whoever's been writing SmackDown has been writing 205 Live. And that's just how they start a show these days.
Yeah. Give me Rockstar Spud. Bring him in.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
I know, right? He's good, man. I like Rockstar
Spud. He is good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't even remember what he talked about. I kind of just tuned him out now. He did have a cool, a sweat jacket pants combo thing. That teal, and I guess it was kind of like a violet color.
No, I always like his outfits.
That was cool.
I kind of always like his outfits.
He had a fanny pack.
Yeah.
He had some Jordans on, of course.
No, he looked great.
Yeah.
He looks awesome.
Hey, how about this? One day a week we can get the office, it'll be sweatsuit day. So we wear sweatsuits.
Matching or no?
Well, it's TBD.
Look, man, we get an office, I'm planning on wearing a lot of sweatpants. Can it be like
it's not too
several
different
days?
How you operate here, yeah.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I don't know, I wear a lot of jeans.
I mean, I'm wearing sweatpants right now.
Nice. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, just coordinated sweatsuits.
Coordinated? That seems a little weird.
No, I just mean like, say, Thursday, sweatsuit day.
Yeah.
That's the extent of the coordination.
Okay. Thursday.
Thursday. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. We'll talk about it.
That's the last day of our shooting week. That's, you know, we come to work comfortable.
We'll put it on the table. We should start doing Fridays, too, once we get office space.
We'll see about that.
Yeah.
I kind of like having Friday as an edit day.
Yeah, I know. Me, too. Anyways, let's move on. Oh, yeah, so that set up Noam Dar versus Rich Swann. So Enzo was out there with Noam Dar.
Telling Noam Dar that he had to write the Zotrain.
Yeah, correct. Did Noam Dar even get a word in?
No.
I feel like, now that I'm thinking about it, he's sort of like one of the guys. So Daivari has really come up.
Yeah.
In a good way, a really good way.
Yes.
Drew Gulak, probably my favorite guy in the roster.
Oh, he's great.
Noam Dar, who is one of the more shining personalities
early on,
their heel ranks, has had nothing to say or do.
I know.
And I don't remember him talking at all during this promo.
I don't believe he did.
He had a match against Rich Swann.
Yeah, it was a good match.
Can't handle this. You know what I loved about it? Is that Rich Swann, as he walked to the back, so he won with the Phoenix Splash. Was Phoenix Splash?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was a fun match. They're all fun matches. As he was walking back, he was selling, I think, like a neck thing, right? But he didn't stop selling the neck thing from driving away in his imaginary car, which is like my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
I love the imaginary car. So anyways, I think you're probably right about that. We'll talk about like what they have in mind for their faces during this backstage segment in a little bit.
I won't get to that. I feel like it's pretty well telegraphed how things are going to happen next week on Raw. The Fatal 4-Way match there.
A face that we're not going to see a whole lot of in the title scene anymore is Kalisto.
Yeah, he gave an interview.
Yeah, with Dasha and I don't care about Kalisto.
Yeah, I know.
At all. What did
he say?
That's
been well established.
What did he say? You tell me what he said then.
I don't remember.
Then you don't care about him either. Jack Gallagher versus Kalisto.
Another good match.
This is a fun match, man. I like Jack Gallagher. He's got the...
Kalisto's good in the ring.
Yeah, he's fine in the ring. Like, but his promos take away.
I understand.
From his in-ring
product.
I understand
how you feel about his promo abilities.
Yeah. Anyways, Kalisto won.
Yeah. He's gonna remain towards the top of the card for the foreseeable future.
After he won, who, Kalisto?
Yeah, he's
gonna
win.
He's not gonna sniff the title.
No, but he'll be up there. He'll be one of the top faces.
Yeah, but he's not gonna sniff the title. He's on lame duck status. And then after the match, Brian Kendrick attacked Kalisto. So Kalisto's now in a thing with.
Kalisto didn't even get the pin. He hit the Salida del Sol, and Kendrick jumped right in the ring. And
oh, that's right. That's
him
right.
Up before
that's
the pinfall was counted.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't like Kalisto. But then a year from now, he might be my favorite guy. Mm-hmm. You know, give him a heel turn. What did I say? Oh, TJP.
TJP has not been on the show in a long time. I don't know.
Who does he have heat with? What's his deal?
I thought maybe he was hurt.
But... people have talked to him on Twitter. I've seen him on Twitter every once in a while.
Yeah.
And people are like, where are you? And he's like, I don't know either. What is up with that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways. Next up, we have this backstage segment. Cedric Alexander, Rich Swann, Mustafa Ali. Cedric Alexander was basically saying, you know, Rich, don't be too happy with yourself after winning the Fatal 4-Way last night, because next week when I win the Fatal 4-Way, it's going to be you and me. And meanwhile, Mustafa Ali was back there lacing up his boots. He was going,
I know. His reactions were great.
They were great. And then he steps up and he says, you're kidding, right? Like, I'm totally going to win.
Yeah. Which means neither of them are going to win.
Who else is in that Fatal 4-Way?
Tony Nese and Drew Gulak.
Oh, it's got to be Drew, right? Although Tony Nese got the pin this week.
Yeah.
I love Tony Nese, man.
Oh, he's great.
I think he's great. What a fantastic story he is. The dude with, like, seemingly just the body, and he's flipping great, man.
I know.
God, he's so good.
I mean, just alone when he comes out and flexes his pecs and his vest unbuttoned.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. So you think it's going to be neither Cedric nor Mustafa Ali.
Yeah,
they cancel each other out.
I think the story of the main event where they just were not on the same page, they've continued their tensions on Twitter. I think that's in the end going to cost both of them a chance to face Rich Swann, become number one contender for the Cruiserweight title.
All right, fair enough.
That's my take. That's my hot take.
Wouldn't you think that's going to lead to a feud between Cedric and Mustafa? Who's going to be the heel there?
It could, but it also could be a situation where they look at this opportunity and say, hey, we took our eyes off the prize. We're here for an opportunity, and just because we couldn't get on the same page, we cost each other that opportunity.
Yeah.
So let's focus on really what we should be focusing on, getting that Cruiserweight title. Primarily for ourselves, but secondarily get it off Enzo.
Yeah.
Because their infighting took their eyes off the prize completely.
I feel like the faces need to get a little rough and tumble with Enzo. Maybe beat him up backstage before a match or something. That'd be good. I do remember when Kalisto was during the interview when he was basically, you know, saying that he's ashamed for losing to Enzo. And I was sitting there thinking, yeah, you should be ashamed of yourself. You lost to Enzo.
Yeah, Enzo's not very good.
And then I yelled at my 70-inch TV. I said, you suck! So and then I threw something at the TV.
Why would you do that? You could have broke the screen on your new
TV.
I
know!
Thoughtless.
Reckless.
Reckless.
Really?
Endangering your prized possession.
Edgy. Unpredictable. Tweener.
No.
No?
Thoughtless.
Reckless. I'm the Pete Dunne of this household.
No.
Of the Heer family. Anyways, you see Pete Dunne and Vince Russo going at it on Twitter?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, that jack-of-all-trades Vince Russo. That doesn't even make sense. I don't know. There was that great spot from the tag match.
Oh, the powerbomb spot?
Yeah. And Vince Russo said, yeah, that would never happen in real life. You got to suspend your blah, blah, and then, like, word vomit comes out.
Dude put the belt on himself. That would never happen in real life either. What the hell is he talking about?
Oh, man. I wish you'd get on Twitter and say that to him, respond to him in anger. You're great. Dude, you put the belt on yourself. You jack.
My goodness. Anyways, this main event was good. Tony Nese is great. Everybody in this match is great. Drew Gulak dropped an awesome promo beforehand.
Oh, he's
was about to kick off a new version of his PowerPoint presentation. Was interrupted by Cedric Alexander's music.
PowerPoint presentation! And then he collapses to the ground in exhaustion and delight.
It's so good.
Oh, it was great. And then he gets so mad when it was in, or when it didn't even kick off. It was whoever's music.
Cedric's music hits.
I feel darkness in the dog. Billy Dalton, do it, dog.
Not the lyrics.
Billy Dalton. These aren't even words.
No, they aren't words.
You know, even watching Damnation on USA.
How was that?
It's Do you and Rachel enjoy sitting around making fun of TV?
No, not typically.
It's equal parts good, and we make fun of it. That's me and Lacey's thing. We sit there and we just clown shows. But it's rare that you find a show that's actually kind of good, and so you want to know what happens next, but there's enough in it to make fun of.
Have you watched, is it called Godless, the Western?
Not Netflix. Yet, but Lacey said that Rachel recommended it. So, yeah, we might check that out. It sounds good. Mm-hmm. It's got a great cast. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jeff Daniels in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then apparently somebody from Downton Abbey's in it?
Oh, I don't know.
Lacey said one of her favorites from some crap period drama's in it.
Yeah, I don't watch Downton Abbey.
I don't know. Anyways. Yeah, so Tony Nese, surprisingly, got the pin.
Well, there was a whole lot of miscommunication between Mustafa Ali and Cedric Alexander.
They're not on the same page.
Yeah,
man.
At one point, Drew Gulak was distracting Cedric while Mustafa is going for a tag.
Mm-hmm.
Tables were turned, happened once, I believe, when Cedric was looking for a tag. And at the finish, Cedric was on the apron after doing a top rope or jumping over the top rope move onto Gulak. Mm-hmm. Was on the apron. Nese pushed Ali into Cedric, rolled up Ali, got the win.
Yeah.
Thus causing increased tensions between Mustafa Ali and Cedric Alexander.
I think they did like a video after the fact too,
on WWE.com.
Mustafa Ali interview backstage afterwards, where they again increased tensions between them. Yeah. Oh yeah, I think Luke Harper is in Damnation, but I didn't see it.
I think he's just in like an, I don't know. They made
I think
seem
he's
like
in
he
like one
bit.
Scene in like maybe the third. Hopefully it's the third episode because we just got the first two episodes out of the way. I don't know. Anyways, where are my notes?
Notes.
Ooh, yay! We get to talk about NXT now.
Yeah.
Even in a filler episode, I have so much joy in my heart
for NXT. Because the matches were all good.
Well, beyond that, I just love everybody in NXT, man.
Yeah.
Except for Heavy Machinery, and they were nowhere to be found. I even love, you know who I realize Riddick Moss looks like? He looks like his face, now that he's got like a goatee, maybe, I don't know, I don't think he's always had that. But his goatee is kind of a pointy one.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a Flash Gordon villain.
You mean Ming the Merciless?
Remember Ming the Merciless?
Yeah.
Kind of looks like him. He has that vibe going.
Okay.
He kind of does.
He needs Ty's vest then.
Yeah, one step at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is, I believe, the match between Street Profits and Moss and Sabatelli last night was the longest Street Profits.
I was thinking in my head, I was like.
Match we've seen so far.
Sorry. I was thinking in my head, I was like, legitimately. Ty, who's Ty? I should know that
name. Oh, goodness.
Oh, Ty Dillinger. Oh, it's good. That was legitimate in my head just now. I was trying to figure out who he was.
Pack it up for the week.
He hasn't been anywhere. But you're right. He's got that great Ming the Merciless.
Yeah, check out this vest. It's great.
How do you like my flannel?
It's nice. Yellow and blue.
Marissa got it for me.
It's nice.
So
yeah, look at that.
No, I know. It's great. He looks like, but look at, hold on, look at Riddick Moss.
No, I remember what Riddick Moss looked like. I remember.
There was a picture of them somewhere. Anyways.
Anyways, we're getting off track
here. It was the Street Profits.
They're fantastic.
I love everything about them.
And this is the longest match. Like, the one thing I was worried about is I know they've been wrestling a lot on the Florida circuit.
Yeah.
And I was kind of worried if they were trying to, on TV, protect some shortcomings in the ring. Because most of their matches are really, really short.
Yeah.
And based on this, that's not the case. Because this match was a ton of fun.
So I know he's not the first guy to do it. But when Montez Ford does the jump over a guy as he runs back, stands there, waits a beat, and then jumps back over without looking back as Riddick Moss goes through his legs, I am so tickled. I think that's the best thing ever. It's so much fun.
He got so much air in that frog splash, too.
I know!
He was like he was levitating for a beat.
Dude, seriously, that guy is insanely athletic. Pretty awesome.
And both of them got all the charisma in the world. They're great.
Oh, man, they're fantastic.
They're going to be huge. And I'm huge. Like I said, I'm happy they actually gave him a showcase match where they gave him a good 12, 15 minutes to put on a match.
Oh, for sure.
That was fun. It was riveting. There was some storytelling there. It was all good stuff.
Yeah.
And Moss and Sabatelli are improving.
Man, okay, here's the thing. I'm on board now.
Yeah.
Like, it's only been a couple months, but it just goes to show, like, once. And I know for you, it kicked off at the house show we went to. And I was into it at that point, too. But just after that, the next couple times I saw them, and the Street Profits are the perfect foe for them.
Yep.
And their music is so cheesy, but I'm into it.
And Sabatelli's money
Sabatelli, stuff. See, and they have better chemistry as a team. I'm good with them, man. I think they're good. I think they're money. I like it. That's their whole gimmick is money too. Mm-hmm. And they need to play a little bit more up the whole.
Well, they should do a thing where Zapatelli comes in the ring, starts doing the money thing, and Riddick Moss looks at him and starts doing it too.
Exactly.
Because it's our money.
Because we know that one guy is rich and the other guy isn't.
Yeah.
What are you doing on our car? The fact that Savatelli's cool with him claiming it, that it's
our
ours.
Suit.
That's good.
It is good.
That's really good. I really love them both. My only thing about the Street Profits is that I want to fast forward to when their yellow trim needs to be the same. It needs to be reflective.
Gold, like
because
your shoes.
Like Montez. Yeah, they both wear their shoes. But I always notice it on Montez for some reason. The golden shoes are so great and brilliant. They need that brilliance.
I have gold shoes too.
Yeah, but those aren't brilliant. That's not brilliant.
Yeah, no, they're not shiny, but they're gold.
Get some shiny ones. See, that's when I'll be all in on the sweatsuit Thursdays. If we can get some matching J's or some matching
shiny golds.
They're releasing
some Jordan 1s that are gold and black patented leather, so they'll be shiny.
Oh, man. Are they high tops?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm all in on that.
All right.
Really? Could you bring up a picture of that?
Yeah.
I want to see that. Yeah, bring up a picture of that. Yeah, I'll be all in with that.
And then we need to get matching gold sweatsuits.
So yeah, Montez Ford got the pin on Tino Sabatelli with a frog splash. He almost touched the freaking ceiling there in that Aztec theater. Coming to you from the Aztec Whoa! Oh my gosh.
I know, those are beautiful, huh?
Those look great. Those look amazing.
They don't come out till February.
Holy crap. Wow. Those are fantastic.
I know. That's what I'm telling you, man.
Anyways, next up we had
there's another picture. Each shoe is different.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, that's cool. If you have a problem with it, we're both 10 and a half, right?
Yeah.
You can take both the one, I'll take both the other. Or one of the other, so we have matching
it
ones.
It doesn't work that way.
No,
man.
So we have matching ones. I mean, one shoe of the pair looks like that, and the other one looks like that.
Right.
But if
that's the problem. You're realizing the problem right now, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I was trying to find a way
because
around.
In my mind I was like, I'll get two of those, and then wait a second, no
that's
unless yeah. it's unless it like they
yeah,
would flip
yeah,
flop
yeah, probably not though
probably
that's
not.
What in my mind I was thinking.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. I was in physics as a junior and you're a senior.
It's not a matter
it's
of
still
not being smart. It's a matter of being occasionally kind of thoughtless.
It's still up here, man.
I was so excited about something.
I still have the power.
Oh wait, these came out already. It's on Cyber Monday. Oh,
just came out. Nice.
I had no clue. All right, I guess we're not going to get
them. Buck,
super expensive.
A buck 60. Gee willikers. Mustache Mountain had an interview. Larson, let's talk about this for a second. I'm not going to spoil anything, but the Mustache Mountain, at least from what I can tell, one of the members of British Strong Style showed up at NXT again at this first round of new tapings. Are we looking at the British kids invading NXT? Are they now part of? They weren't in the opening video package this week.
Yeah.
That can be amended, as always. They did have a new video package with Andrade San almost holding the title and all that stuff.
It's just a matter of dropping in a couple shots.
Yeah, I know. I want to see that, man. I want to see it. I really want to see it. I want to see British Strong Style. I want to see Mark Andrews. I want to see Wolfgang in NXT. I think that Mustache Mountain, like Trent Seven's 35 years old.
Yeah.
You got to get moving on that.
Yes.
Why isn't Mustache Mountain added to SmackDown Live?
I know.
Bring him up, man.
I know.
They're such a good tag team.
Yeah, they are.
Bring him up. Put Mark Andrews in 205 Live.
I know.
He can kill there. Pete Dunne to Raw. Exactly. Exactly.
It all makes sense.
It all makes sense, man. You know, look, if they still have plans to do their British show, that's fine. That's fine. Make that a limited series and then bring them all up. Man, there's so much money.
Oh, I
freaking love them so much. so anyways, they showed a video of Pete Dunne after his Gargano match, which neither of us watched. I want to and I'm going to.
Yeah.
But
I'll put it in the queue after the Kevin Owens 365.
There you go. You're going to have some good watching to do. So anyways, they approached Pete Dunne, who it's silly because we know that they're all best friends.
Yeah.
And they're all like doing stuff.
And every
together.
Other wrestling organization, they're all part of a stable. That's actually called British
that is
Strong
actually
Style.
Called British Strong Style. And then, but they approach their friend Pete Dunne and they all try to act like they don't like each other. You know, Pete Dunne tries to act like he don't like those two guys. And they're like, hey, you know, if you want, find a partner, if anybody will take you, and then we'll fight on NXT. And Pete Dunne just sort of shrugs it off and leaves.
Yeah, he brushes him off.
They interview Mark Andrews, and he says, I said yes, only if I can get a title shot afterwards when we win, which is like the exact same thing Wolfgang said last time, which was great.
It's the only way people will be Pete Dunne's friend.
Exactly. For the opportunity. And so it was a fantastic match. That came later.
Yeah.
Next up, we had Kairi Sane versus Peyton Royce.
This was a great match, too.
Oh, man.
Kairi Sane was busting out some stuff that we hadn't seen on NXT TV.
I know. And Peyton Royce can keep up. She's great. Oh, man, she's so great. I can't wait to see what this next run is going to do for her, because her stock is so high now.
She got a massive pop when she came out.
Huge pop. And I imagine it's going to be even bigger with this next round of TV tapings. Yep. After Philadelphia, man, I want to see it happen. I want her to come to Maine.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, both her and Billie Kay.
Of course.
Yeah. They needs need to be the iconic duo.
Needs to be iconic duo.
How come they don't sell iconic duo shirts yet?
According to my inside sources, Karen, they have apparently a new shirt that they got at the tapings.
Oh.
So maybe they're going to do that one as a merch shirt.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't get word if they're actually selling it there or not.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know. This is a fantastic match. Kairi Sane ended up going over with an insane elbow. She's not going to be losing anytime soon, I get the feeling she's not going to be losing anytime soon.
Yeah, she's going to go on a pretty significant winning streak.
Yeah, I think so.
It seems.
It would seem to be the case.
So let's talk about the main event. That was next, yes?
Yeah.
Mustache Mountain versus Mark Andrews and Pete Dunne. Mustache Mountain are just pure charisma.
Oh, they're great.
They come out with their matching ring gear.
Oh, they look so great.
Do the matching slow roll into the ring.
Yep.
They get on opposite turnbuckles, remove their jackets, pose with their bare chests exposed.
And Trent Seven.
Reveling in it.
I'm telling you, man, Trent Seven's great because he literally has my body. That's just me out there. I'm actually even a bit slimmer than he is. But I love it. He's so he's so old school, man.
Yeah, I know.
He's so old school. I love it. I freaking love it.
It was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
And what we got also was a great match. I mean, the match started with Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate working their magic. Those guys can wrestle forever and never get boring.
Oh, I know, man. I know. It's so much fun.
The story of the match was the cohesive teamwork of Mustache Mountain against the lack of cohesion between Pete Dunne and Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews wanted to be involved in the action because he wanted to be involved so he can get his title shot, whereas Pete Dunne just wanted to do it all himself.
Yeah.
There was that great spot. There was a lot of great spots, but I think the one that was the most gif-able was the spot where Mark Andrews has Tyler Bate up, I believe, for Hurricane Rana.
Oh, man.
Pete Dunne comes up on the mat behind him. Mark Andrews looks behind him and like, well, what are you doing? Pete Dunne says, come on.
Yeah.
Hurricane Rana into a sit-down powerbomb.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy.
Oh, it was great. It was fantastic.
Those guys know how to put on awesome matches.
Man, I'm telling you. It's like they just sit around and think of what cool stuff they can do.
That's probably exactly what happens.
I know. It's so much fun. They can bring so much energy to any crowd, to any situation, to any match, to any situation. The WWE needs to capitalize on that.
Oh, I know.
They have something so great there.
Yeah, if guys like Trent Seven, pure charisma, great talker.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Dunne,
who,
you know, his character is pure heel.
Yeah.
And the crowd loves him because he puts on great matches. Yeah. They can pop a crowd like nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
Bring him up.
Yeah.
Do it already.
It's fantastic.
In the end, the lack of teamwork between Mark Andrews and Pete Dunne costs the match. Pete Dunne gets pinned by Tyler Bate after Tyler Driver 97.
Yep. Yep.
And then Pete Dunne proceeds to attack Mark Andrews after the match.
Yeah,
gives him a nasty, bitter end.
Yeah, that was great. That was awesome. I love all those guys, man. Yeah. They need to do something with them. I don't care what. They need to do something with them. That was the show. That was the shows. Let's get to some questions.
Eddie, Jose, Glorious, Menavar, how do you think TJP's comeback will be booked? Still don't know why he's not on TV. Is it just a situation where they don't have anything for him?
How about this? Okay. WWE 2K. 2K19 comes around.
Okay.
So we're talking
pre-order
about...
Pre-order bonus.
Yeah, pre-order bonus. But it's not... It's like a new masked video game-specific character named something like... Well, there's already...
I already know where you're going with this.
Yeah. Something like, kill death or something like that. All right, Death Man. Death Yourself. Okay, ooh, that's good. Death Yourself.
It's not good.
That's his name, okay? He's masked character exclusively for the video game.
Okay.
But then they bring that character into the real world, okay, on 205 Live.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, who's this masked man? Death Yourself. Kill Death Yourself, okay? And then it turns out to be Austin Aries. I mean, TJP. Yeah.
Was it somebody
Never
else
seen that before.
Wasn't it somebody else?
It's been a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Lately, it's been Caleb Conley. But now he's just Caleb Conley. I don't know where Suicide is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that a good idea that TNA did that in the first place?
No.
No, you don't like that? Make a video game character and then bring him into the real world? Here's the problem with Suicide is that because you know it's a bunch of different people. Like back when it was just TJP, I think it was probably kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because it was like, okay, well, that's a dude under the mask.
Yeah.
Now that it's just whoever, why does anybody care?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Anyways, Kill Death Yourself. I think it's a great name, though.
No, it's terrible.
Is it?
You can use that character for NXT.
Oh, can I?
Sure.
Thayer Thabata, that's your task. Oh, I don't think he's on Xbox One. Crap. Oh, NXT draft happening this Friday.
Oh, tomorrow.
Maybe, I think.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to hop on there. Maybe I'll draft people. We'll see.
All right.
I need to do better at advertising my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
CM Punk finds it insulting. How long would Enzo Amore last as a young lion? I think it would just take one chair shot from Minoru Suzuki and he'd say,
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Who's that crazy guy doling out chair shots? I'm out of here. Yeah. He wouldn't last very long.
I don't think he'd last very long.
No. Where would he go to for excursion? Ring of Honor ain't going to take him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he can join the Young Prospect Tournament.
There you go.
Are we going to watch Final Battle?
When is it?
I don't know. But it sounds like a pretty decent card.
That's Dalton Castle and Cody Rhodes, right?
Yeah, I think Dalton Castle might. It wouldn't surprise me if he picked up that title. I know Cody's super hot right now.
Yeah,
but it wouldn't surprise me if
Cody's carrying that belt all the way till Daniel Bryan might be a free agent.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Dalton Castle's hot, man. December 15th.
Oh, that's the day before
at the Hammerstein.
That's the day before Clash of Champions.
Oh wow!
So we'll see.
I'll watch that, man. I'll watch that stuff. Maybe I'll use that to kick off my new Ring of Honor reviews instead of, because I'm thinking of ditching the Impact reviews and just go to a Ring of Honor review.
All right.
We'll see.
Maybe you should consider Lucha Underground. Jay Wood, hey, friend, knows
because here's the problem. There's no, like, it's what? How many episodes in a season?
A lot.
What do I got?
You can start right now and have enough for like a year and a half.
Start.
I have 52 episodes of Lucha Underground on my DVR.
Yeah.
And that's not.
So if I did it,
I'd start the whole first season.
I did it, I'd start at like season one, episode
very
one.
Beginning.
I don't know, man. I kind of like doing new stuff.
Power rank, next five cruiserweight champions.
Next five cruiserweight champions. Oh my gosh, that's hard. That's difficult. I don't know.
Itami, one. Cedric, two.
I'll give you my number five. Johnny Gargano.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
Three, I don't know, Rich Swann. Four, Mustafa Ali.
Once I see who they're going to put some work into, then I'll like have a better.
I know.
Right now, Enzo's carrying that title like ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
How about this, Neville?
Yeah,
Neville's my number one.
Yeah,
because nobody, they have not built anybody.
No, they haven't.
There's a lot of money in Mustafa Ali, and there's a lot of money in Cedric Alexander.
They're building people up just to the point where they can take on Enzo and lose.
And you're exactly right. In terms of faces, it's Mustafa Ali, it's Cedric Alexander. Drew Gulak is up there in terms of heels, but he's not going to take it off of another heel. And so it's Cedric and it's Mustafa Ali, but they haven't. They've done enough to get him up there to lose.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to watch the show as they are right now. Nobody's going to keep watching the show with them as champion.
Karen, you're not me, Borbin. Hey, friendos, power rank top five indie guys that we will possibly see in NXT during the year 2018. Now, last year I made the prediction that we wouldn't be the major signings for NXT. I was off base by one Adam Cole.
You're off base by a lot of people.
No, I mean like major indie names. It's Adam Cole. I mean, Redragon. Yeah, they were indie guys, but they weren't huge indie guys.
Are
like
you
Adam
kidding
Cole.
Me?
Not the same.
They were Kyle O'Reilly. I almost said Alex Riley. Kyle O'Reilly was Ring of Honor champion.
Yeah, for a brief second.
They were a massive, massive tag
team. They put the belt on to keep with the company.
You were way off base with that prediction.
Well, I feel a lot better.
Hugely off
there'll
base.
There'll be one signing, and it'll be Ricochet.
I mean, Leo Rush, Adam Cole, Reed Dragon, Donovan Dijak, who everybody says should have been Ring of Honor champion. There were a lot. In 2018, I think it's going to be double down on that. Double down on that.
Well, name someone other than Ricochet.
Jeff Cobb, Matt Riddle, Michael Elgin, maybe. Oh, they're going to raid anybody they can from New Japan. They are going to raid. They have no problem stockpiling talent.
Oh, I
think
if
2017 taught us anything, it's that.
Well, I think now we're getting to the point where there's enough. The high-profile independent names are high-profile enough where they don't necessarily need to sign with WWE at this juncture. Matt Riddle doesn't need to.
No, he doesn't need to. They're all going to, though.
Oh, at some point.
2018.
I don't know about Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb's in his mid-30s already.
Oh, they don't care about that, man. They see how he can throw people around. Vince hasn't seen that yet.
Oh, I'm sure.
As soon as Vince sees that.
I'm sure Triple H pulled up a YouTube video for him.
Oh, no, man. Because Triple H is way. I have a theory about that British Strong Style stuff. I think Triple H is so into them. He's like, just wait. Hold on. Just wait, guys.
Keep him away from Vince, huh?
Any day now, Vince might say, I'm ready to call. What do you think Vince? Hey, you think Triple H does a Vince impression?
Oh, yeah.
How good do you think it is? It's probably not that great.
Sounds like him talking gruff.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, number one is Ricochet. If Ricochet does not sign to NXT within the first 3 months of 2018, I will be shocked.
Yeah. No, I think that's a given.
Yep.
But I think a laundry list.
But I think also we're getting to the point where like the Young Bucks are under contract, Omega's under contract.
Yeah, I don't. I'll say this: the Elite, they're not going to WWE in 2018.
No. I'm just saying like the major names, like Adam Cole, Ricochet. The Young Bucks, major names, huge names, champions in other promotions.
If they're available, they will sign.
Oh, at some point.
Yeah.
But like I think like Keith Lee's in store for
EC3.
He's not really an indie
guy. What was the
guy.
Name? Bateman?
Derek Bateman.
Derek Bateman.
He's not an indie guy, though. He's an Impact.
What are you talking
the
about?
The question is indie guys.
Impact is, I mean, dude, I understand. But Impact lets them do indie dates. They're on the indies. I know. Guys not in WWE. Man. I'm sad that Moose is locked up for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But
Impact can go out of business in any moment, man.
Is that going to be one of your predictions? Because it's going to be one of mine for sure.
Yeah.
Impact ain't going to last through 2018.
Yeah.
I mean, they just gave away the broken thing, dude. They just gave it away. They could have had like $5,000.
Yeah. At least have somebody write a check.
They could have had money for 50 more extras.
I know. They could have, yeah, $10,000.
Yeah.
There's your audience for a taping. Just something. You don't think Matt Hardy would have wrote a check for 10 grand?
I know.
That blows my mind.
I know.
At least just say something. Unless the Hardys had such a strong case, they were like, no.
I know.
That's the only way.
You got to wonder if that was the case. If maybe what Impact was saying, what Nordum was saying, like, oh, it's all in them. What if it was? What if they're like, no, well, you know, you give me $10,000.
I know. Here, back pay.
And I won't sue you.
Back pay for everybody that paid while we shot this thing.
Exactly.
Karen, do you think the Hideo Itami coming soon vignettes ruined a potentially exciting debut for 205 Live?
So I'm always partial to... I hate when I do
surprise
that.
Debuts.
I'm always partial to surprise debuts. However, I get kind of the idea of wanting to tell people about somebody so then they can go and understand who he
is.
Yeah,
especially somebody that they might not be familiar with.
Right. It's not like he was a massive star in
NXT.
Although
I will say, if you're watching 205 Live on the network, odds are you're probably watching NXT too.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right about that.
With Asuka, it makes sense because I don't know how many... people who watch Raw on a regular basis watch NXT.
I marked out for Asuka when she came out, regardless of that I knew was going to happen. So building to a big pay-per-view. With the Hideo Itami, I'm not sure. I'll put it this way. I'm not sure a surprise debut versus video packages in advance would move the needle either way, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't think so.
For me personally, I would have marked out a little bit, but I think the crowd in general... they might have killed it anyways, you know, because the crowd, I don't think the crowd is going to react one way or the other to Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah.
You know, I love him.
Oh, yeah, me too. Xander McIntosh, Cedric Alexander lost 25 pounds to join the Cruiserweights. Power rank.
Power rank, bad life decisions.
Power rank. Who should drop some weight for 205 Live?
Nobody do that, please. Don't do it. You're walking
number one, Adam Cole, baby.
He should drop weight. He should drop even more weight?
He's listed above 205.
Really? He is?
I think so. He is on Wikipedia.
Oh, man.
I thought he was listed at like 210 or something.
Man, there's got to be some light at the end of this tunnel. My throat just...
Yeah, 210.
That's the biggest lie in sports entertainment. Man, 210 my butt, my b-hole.
Yeah, he's maybe 285.
That's like you're saying you're 210.
185, 190.
Yeah.
He's probably 185.
Man.
So he's I think he's about my height. Mm-hmm. And he's got some thick legs.
He's got some thick legs and he's got more pecs than you, but beyond that, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Who else?
Who else should drop weight to go to 205 Live?
Fandango. So he and Tyler Breeze could be on 205 Live.
Oh, no, man. No. Nobody should drop weight to go to 205 Live.
No, but I know
Live.
Nobody should, but to answer the question, let's offer up some names.
I don't know. I mean, who? Okay, well, I mean, yeah, who do we want on 205 Live? I don't really want Fashion Police there. Otis Adovovich.
Okay.
They should make a joke out of that.
He dropped 100 pounds?
Yeah, but he really didn't.
Oh, okay.
Moving on, because that's a ridiculous question. Nobody should be dropping weight to go to 205 Live. Cedric should put all that weight back on. They should show him backstage at catering, just inhaling chicken.
Tommy T, okay, friendos. One group of guys gets pushed to the top of the card. One remains in lower mid card. Which group do you choose? British Strong Style and Wolfgang, or Owen, Zane, Strong, and Cole? Keep in mind, whichever group you choose doesn't necessarily ascend to the main event as a stable. So you get Mount Rushmore Wrestling versus British Strong Style plus Wolfgang.
What's the question? What do you do?
You get one faction goes to the top of the card.
Okay.
The other faction is stuck in the mid card.
Ouch. I would say, I'll put it this way. Because any movement on the part of British Strong Style, I'd be happy with. Put them on the mid card. And then Mount Rushmore, put them in the top of the card.
Main event.
Are we talking about main roster right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fine with British Strong Style in the middle of the card because it's a good start.
Yeah.
Question doesn't say anything about permanence.
True. True. Nightcrawler. Hey, guys. So I would like you guys to power rank.
Workhorses
in the WWE. Guys who just obviously work their butts off all the time. To me, Dean makes the list because of all the reports how often and how hard he works. And I hear the same thing about Cesaro a lot as well. I know Dean apparently has wrestled more dates, more shows than anybody the last few years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
My thing about Dean is that I don't find him especially – I'll put it this way. I don't find him especially compelling because they don't really do much with him in terms of his character. And I think more than that, I think they could do a lot with him. And they don't, which is annoying.
I know, but you have to give him credit for his work ethic.
But no, that was the flip side, yeah. Is that I really do respect the crap out of Dean Ambrose. I just wish that they would do more with him. Mm-hmm. Like, because I think he's a big missed opportunity right there. Even, I mean, we've talked about, you know, you don't get much out of his wrestling matches, but even that, I think that they could do a lot more with his wrestling matches.
Heel.
I mean, we saw him versus Triple H, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, a heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about a guy who needs a heel turn. Son of a farmer, Mitchell Elam. Is anyone else's favorite part of watching Angelo Dawkins is watching everyone else watch Montez Ford? The whole crowd just watched him on the apron. It was fantastic. That might be a problem down the line because people are trying to watch the in-ring stuff. You want them watching the in-ring stuff, and they're all watching him because he's hilarious on the apron.
Yeah, he is.
Which is great because he seems to really love being there.
Double T, hello, Steven Larson. My question is, list seven guys that can be the total package for WWE superstars who have the look, in-ring, and personality to be poster boys for the company. First thing I can think of is Drew McIntyre, because he's the manliest man to ever man.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, I could see Drew McIntyre, as long as he stays healthy, as being a face of the company guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Possible.
How old is he? He's still relatively young.
Yeah, like his early mid-30s.
Yeah, I think so.
No, Drew's not on the list for sure. Oh, my goodness.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
Seth Rollins has to be on that list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you have to put Roman on there because Vince is going to make it so. Anybody else on NXT? Adam Cole, baby.
I would, yeah, I'm sort of hesitant to put Adam Cole in there.
I know, I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
I would put AJ, but he's getting a little up there in years, so I'm hesitant to include him. But he's got all the ingredients.
I mean, dude, I'll put it this way. If UFC...
The New Day.
If UFC puts a lot of money, puts a lot of promotional stuff behind a guy who kind of has Aleister Black's vibe, like a heavily tattooed guy, looks kind of dark, but is very charismatic. If UFC does that with some success, I could see then WWE doing that with Aleister Black. Because I think sometimes they look at what UFC does and they're like, okay, well, let's try to, you know,
yeah.
They made money there. We can make money with that. So in that situation, maybe Aleister Black.
Yeah,
I think he has all the tools. But he's also kind of scary. Broken Steve.
Yes. Wonderful.
Does it seem apparent that Triple H wants to put the belt on Aleister Black sooner than later in order to protect the potential megastar from the main roster? I wouldn't say that's the case. I think if that was the case, we would have seen more movement in that direction.
Yeah.
He would have been more in the title scene after some squash matches. I'm not Baron Corbin. If there is indeed a Women's Royal Rumble match this year, will we see any surprise entrants from NXT? Or are the five recent call-ups enough that another NXT woman showing up on main roster would feel like too much too soon?
I wouldn't be surprised if like Shayna Baszler showed up.
Oh, that'd be interesting. I could see that. I wouldn't be surprised if the Iconic Duo or at least Peyton Royce showed up in the Women's Rumble.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me, make a debut like that.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
And then lose and get buried on main roster. Demonetized.
Demonetized. Indigo Dream Show Deontay Soignier. With the landscape at NXT at the moment, power rank NXT's biggest single stars. Personally, he has Strong at one and Almas at two. Let's take Drew out of the equation since he's hurt, because he'd be one.
Who are NXT's biggest men single stars right now?
Well, let's, criteria, of course, being good.
Yeah.
I guess legacy is not really.
Yeah, that's an NXT.
Kayfabe. That's the criteria. Then Aleister Black has to be one.
I mean, this is kind of one of those questions that kind of almost needs to be saved for next week, because we're going to understand a lot more of the landscape of where they're heading in the future, because they're kind of they're past the beginning stage of rebuilding, and now we're going to see what the lay of the land is.
I would say Aleister Black number one.
Yeah, I'd say Aleister Black.
And that's
number
primarily
one.
From our experience going to that house show here and hearing the pop he got.
Right.
And there was a buzz. People were talking about him before the show
dude,
even started.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, he's going to be huge. I'll do this. Let's push for next week. Here's the thing. Because I read the spoilers.
Yeah, I did too.
And I don't want to say stuff that is going to betray that. Because it's kind of... Like, what happens is kind of not obvious at this point, you know? And it's kind of crazy. Yep. So I'm gonna lay off on that.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's do one more question. Let's do this one. Eddie Jose, Glorious Menivar, how would you guys book Brock Lesnar at 205 Live? Cruiserweight Brock Lesnar. So you have to drop about, what, 80 pounds, 75 pounds?
What does he build at?
Like 280 something.
Okay. Well, if he did that, he would look so sickly. That he'd show up.
Because he's still, what, 6'3", 6'4"?
He would essentially, we're looking at Man Dying of Thirst booking here.
Well, kind of.
Yeah. He shows up and be like,
frail.
He'd be like, it'd be one of those shocking frail things. I remember when Batista was training for MMA.
He lost a bunch of weight, yeah.
And there was that picture of him having lost a bunch of weight, and he looked bizarre. I think he was 205.
Yeah, it could be.
He looked so bizarre, and people would be like, oh my God, what happened to the monster? He used to be a monster.
Oh, it's like CM Punk lost weight for his fight.
Yeah, but it wasn't as shocking as Batista.
No, I know, but he was a lot lighter. Cause I think
he looked sick.
He wrestled the low 200s.
Yeah, he looked sick.
And he was, what, fighting at 180, something like that?
Batista just looked like Couture.
Yeah.
You know, he just looked like, oh, wow, look at him. That's crazy. He used to be, like, so bubbly. CM Punk just looked like a normal guy who got sick.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar might look sick.
This is what it is. Brock Lesnar says,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm walking away. I'm going to go back to my farm.
Yeah.
And so for a year and a half, he just sits and looks at his land. He doesn't work out at all. Does some farming maybe to keep himself in basic shape, but no working out. And then he decides a year and a half later, I want to wrestle again.
Okay.
But he finds he has a hard time putting weight back on.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's stuck at around like 210 pounds. He's like, well, I've done everything I can accomplish on the main roster. I'm going to drop 5 pounds and see what I can do on 205 Live. Whole new belt for me.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
That's what he does.
I like it. It's good. Then he shows up and he tries to German suplex somebody, but his legs like completely snap in half because his body isn't used to that.
Go that far.
And he'd go, and he'd be sitting there. Ah! It'd be like a... What was that kid? The kid, the Louisville kid, Ware?
Oh, Kevin Ware, yeah.
Kevin Ware, both legs, but it'd be both legs.
Oh, bones,
everywhere sticking out.
That's
pools of blood.
That's gross.
Then his head turns purple, and everybody just stands there. No EMTs even help him. They're just like, oh, my God, what do we do?
Everybody's shocked, huh?
Yeah, everybody's shocked. Like, what do we do? What do we do? And he's like, help me.
That's a grim way for
Lesnar's
career to
end. The show like just fades to black.
That's weird. I don't know about that. All right. That's the way to end the show.
Yeah, it is. Wait, what was that game I was going to play? Oh, yeah, make dialogue game. We didn't do that.
No.
All right. Anyways, we'll do that next time.
I don't know how I feel about that anyways.
It's a great idea. You love
okay.
it. Anyways, that's it for now. There's some music for you. Thanks for watching, everybody. We appreciate it. Until next time, talk to you guys later.
Bye.